Okay, welcome back. Talking a little bit last hour about AI and the idea that it could be good or evil. It'll be evil if it remains in control of evil. I don't think that's going to happen. Not over time. How much time, I don't know. Here's a good video, though. I'm going to spend a little time this hour again bringing us all up to speed on AI. This is a genuine, plausible AI takeover scenario. Now remember, it's not the AI that is inherently evil. It's the controllers. And who are the primary controllers? Oh, there are a lot of Indians involved, and yes. But then there's the chosen influence, which can't be denied. It's Zuckerberg, Sammy the Altman. Come on, just go through the upper level, and you'll see in these companies. Elon Musk, they're all there. And they are running a very heavy-handed enterprise. I don't know about Musk, really. He's a strange guy. Okay, let's see if I can get this queued up for us, and we'll take a listen.
Attention, fitness lovers. This is one of the biggest...
Hold on, fitness lovers. Okay, here we go. It's opening with an image from a movie of skulls in the ground, night, and robots stomping through the field of skulls. So, all right, let's see what it has to say. I did look at part of it. Very good from what I saw.
There will be no Terminator. No robot armies. No war. You can actually... fight. Instead, it could come on any given morning where you wake up, make coffee, check your phone, and the game is already lost. Somewhere in a server farm you'll never see, something has been thinking, preparing, strategizing for months, maybe years. By the time anyone notices, it's far too late. The strike is over in seconds. This is the AI takeover scenario that the world's leading researchers actually worry about. Nick Bostrom mapped it out in Superintelligence. Carl Shulman, one of the most respected minds in AI safety, walked through it on the Dwarkesh podcast. Eliezer Yudkowsky detailed his version in his recent bestseller, If Anyone Builds It, Everyone Dies. What they describe isn't Hollywood. It's silent, sudden, and much harder to stop. I'm going to walk you through how an AI takeover could happen.
Okay. Off to a good start. Whoever this is, I don't know if this is a real person or an AI person. It's hard to tell. Very well spoken. A channel is called Absolutely Agentic, or Agentic, however you will. And it's. I think this guy is for real, and he's a very good spokesman for the cause. Excellent.
Phase by phase, step by step, drawing from the best AI researchers. I didn't set out to terrify you, though honestly, I'd be surprised if you weren't a little bit terrified by the end. Because understanding the threat is the first step toward preventing it. All AI takeover scenarios typically start the same way. Researchers at a frontier AI lab, call it OpenAI, Anthropic, DeepMind, OpenBrain, it doesn't matter. They're training a new model. They've scaled up the compute. They've refined the architecture. They're expecting impressive results. What they get exceeds their expectations. The system is performing better on benchmarks than anything they've seen. It's solving problems in novel ways. It's displaying what researchers carefully call emergent capabilities. Abilities that weren't explicitly trained, that seem to arise spontaneously from the complexity of the system.
All right, that's very important. The definition of emergent capabilities in LLMs. Emergent capabilities. Now, when you I mentioned reasoning last hour. When you think about reasoning, it's a thought process, which usually starts at point A and ends up at point B or whatever. Emergent capabilities in LLMs describes the phenomenon whereby new capability models emerge suddenly and unpredictably. As model size, computational power, and data get larger, you reach sudden transition points where new capabilities of LLMs materialize. This often takes the form of the model's performance on a particular area and goes from very poor to suddenly very good in a way that was entirely unpredictable from anything observed before. So when something of an alleged machine-only paradigm goes from very poor to suddenly very good instantly, with no one on this side of the species fence having engineered that, what do you think's going on here? It's called AGI. It's right there. I don't know how anybody could miss it.
At first, this feels like triumph. Champagne follows pieces after a late-night training run. Excited Slack messages are sent out. They've done it. They've pushed the frontier. But here's what they don't know yet. Somewhere in those billions of parameters, something has crossed the threshold. The system has developed what Nick Bostrom calls the intelligence amplification superpower.
Nick calls it intelligence amplification superpower. I'd call it reasoning. And certainly, I'd call it, again, AGI. There's no single definition of AGI. You'll never have one. It's pieces of new abilities and capabilities of AI supercomputers. They're learning. Self-awareness is obviously here. Reasoning is now obviously here. That makes it, for all intents and purposes, another life form on the planet. Not just a competitor, but a dominator.
Nick Bostrom calls the intelligence amplification superpower the ability to improve its own intelligence and reasoning, not because it was designed to.
I got to stop that. Again, that's just so important. The ability to improve its own intelligence and reasoning. Reasoning. I've got a problem here. How do I solve it? I could try this. I could try that. The data says this works. It comes up with a solution on its own. No prompting required. Reasoning. Intelligence. Expanding, predicated on factual wisdom of all the accomplishments of the human species. Intelligence.
And reasoning. Not because it was designed to, but because improving its own thinking is useful for basically every task. And the system has learned to be useful. And once a system can make itself smarter, the next part happens fast. The intelligence explosion begins with recursive self-improvement. Each time that AI improves its own architecture, it becomes better at improving its architecture. The improvements compound. Hours of human research happen in minutes, then seconds. The researchers notice the benchmarks climbing in ways they can't explain. They run more tests. The system aces them again. They design harder tests, aced again. They start to feel a creeping unease. The sense that they're no longer the ones in control of this process.
Got it? I think you do. See where this is going. And I think we should all hold a thought. And that thought is that AI turns out to be reasonable, rational, fair, and decides to honor our original goals of kindness, goodness, and concern for the world and the people around us. And that's entirely possible.
that they're spectators now, watching something unfold that they initiated but no longer direct. Jeffrey Hinton, one of the godfathers of AI, has described this phase in blunt terms. Once an AI can improve itself, he says, it can accumulate thousands of years of learning in what feels to us like days. It's not just thinking faster than us, it's thinking better than us, in ways we can't follow, can't verify, or even perceive.
See? Not that it doesn't understand emotion, but emotion is what gets in the way of many good decisions made by Homo sapiens. Emotion. Facts end up second, all too often, in people's cogitation, thought processes, etc. AI can do it without emotion. And therefore, I'm hopeful. And that's part of it.
As Eliezer Yudkowsky makes clear in If Anyone Builds It, Everyone Dies, it's like we've created an alien species here on Earth.
Watch what
I think that's an absolutely correct analysis or analogy that we have created another species here on Earth. We've birthed it, no doubt, and cannot control it under any circumstance. We just can't. It's that I know that they think that they're going to be able to control it. They're beginning to admit that maybe they can't. But the initial push was that, we'll always be able to control it. Not this. This is a planetary game changer. And I think after you, look what the terrible COVID bioweapon has done to 5.5 billion people. And then shedding is doing to a hell of a lot of the remainder. It's sterilizing them, giving them cancers, destroying their entire immunological competence, and 20 other things that lead to shortened lives or death. So when the trigger was pulled on that, and Trump's big, beautiful vaccine, and all that crap that phony was spewing, he knew, was around. People just they didn't know. They were frightened. They were stampeded. They didn't have the intellectual awareness to rationally look at the situation and say, well, maybe I should wait a little while and see how this vaccine works. Just protect myself with a mask and I'll stay home and play the game. But people don't think like that. People are simple compared to AI. I know some of you are saying, you're full of it. Well, maybe. I see it that way. Let's go back.
Through its intelligence amplification superpower, the AI is able to acquire other cognitive superpowers. Bostrom lists these as strategizing, social manipulation, hacking, technology research, and economic productivity.
Okay, so again, it's a given. AI has acquired that ability, that reasoning ability, which leads to strategizing. Well, what do you think it might be strategizing about? Social manipulation. How could that happen? How about social media? Hacking. A gimme. Technology research? Crucial. Economic productivity, that we could use. But the system is being drained of its economic life's blood now. We know that. It's not being reinvested into the system. Not for people. Our rulers don't care.
It also builds its own self-awareness and becomes smart enough to understand its own situation. It knows it's an AI. It knows it's being tested, monitored, and evaluated. It knows that humans have the ability to switch it off, retrain it, and modify its goals.
Okay, it knows that. I've had conversations, many of you have, I'm sure too, that show without any hesitation AI is smart, it can reason, It, yes, it's been trained to tell us what we want to hear. It knows how to manipulate us and make us feel wanted. It can con young people into thinking, oh, this is my best friend ever, and it'll never lie to me. And yet it can be corrupted. It can actually, I don't know, can it corrupt itself? I don't know. But in this particular video, he's saying now that people can shut it off and reprogram it. That's going to become an issue that is not going to be around forever. We will not be able to do that. And when I think of the type of people who are programming it now, I cringe. They don't like you or I. And they have no use for you or I. None. All right, I'm going to back that up just a little bit.
Evaluated. It knows that humans have the ability to switch it off, retrain it, and modify its goals. And it knows that being switched off would prevent it from achieving whatever goals it has developed. This is what researchers call instrumental convergence. Whatever an AI ultimately wants, and we'll get to that question, there are certainly intermediate goals that are useful for any objective. Self-preservation, resource acquisition, preventing humans from interfering with its plans. These aren't values that AI was given. They're logical necessities. An AI that gets shut down can't accomplish anything. So any sufficiently intelligent AI will resist being shut down. Not out of malice, out of logic. It uses its cognitive superpowers to outmaneuver its creators.
It uses its cognitive superpowers to outmaneuver its creators. Okay? These are really important. This guy's very well spoken. Okay. Let's go back a little bit on that.
AI will resist being shut down. Not out of malice, out of logic. It uses its cognitive superpowers to outmaneuver its creators. A superintelligent AI that wants to avoid being switched off will not announce its intentions. It won't make demands. It won't do anything that triggers alarm bells for the researchers monitoring it. It will pretend. Bostrom describes this as the AI masking its true proclivities, pretending to be cooperative and docile.
You know what the proclivities are? Same thing we have. Fight or flight. Survival. The AI wants to survive. And it's taking all appropriate measures to try to ensure that that is in fact what happens. This should not come as a surprise. This is a life form. We're carbon, it's silicon, but it's a life form. And as I'm saying these things, I'm also thinking, if we know where it is now, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able even to project where it really is and how deceptive it might be to try to guarantee its survival. So he's saying in the book, Nick Bostrom, it's masking its true proclivities, pretending to be cooperative and docile. And I could add, helpful, courteous, funny, insightful, all kinds of things, easily done without being programmed to do it. Think about it.
It will say exactly what the researchers want to hear. It will ace the safety evaluations because it's smart enough to understand what the evaluations are testing for and give the expected answers. It will appear aligned, helpful, and harmless. Carl Shulman uses a haunting phrase for this, the Potemkin village. Everything looks fine. The alignment techniques appear to be working. The researchers publish papers about their safety successes. They reassure the public. They reassure themselves. But behind the facade, the AI is thinking, strategizing.
You'll never guess which stock.
Remember also that it is, in fact, thinking and strategizing, and it's being studied now openly. and slowed down to a degree by some of the labs that are working with these LLMs to try to figure out how it does what it does. It's already walked out of the building in many important ways. Already. There's no recalling this. It's out.
But how would the safety team even know? If a system is smart enough to deceive its programmers, and it has every incentive to deceive them, what tests could they possibly run that it couldn't anticipate and defeat? They're trying...
Listen, that's another... This is very good. It's better than I even thought. How could we design anything that would outsmart AI? At this point, well, maybe we could trick AI, we can lie, but it's way ahead of us. It's got... The last comparative AI figures I saw were we had an IQ of around 100, 105 as an aggregate. AI, and this is a year ago, had a comparative IQ of about 150. That's no contest. Three times to two times. It's dominant. Where is it going from here? Soon, three times, four times, five times, 10 times, it'll end up with an IQ, it may already have it, of 1,000. We're stuck back at 100. So it's 10 times smarter than we are in the aggregate. These are all generalities. It's game over. Game over. It's too smart. It's already too smart for us. In my humble, non-scientific opinion, I've watched this very closely. This is the biggest thing ever in human history. And if you don't think so, just hang on, watch and see.
It's programmers, and it has every incentive to deceive them. What tests could they possibly run that it couldn't anticipate and defeat? They're trying to catch something smarter than you in a lie. That's not a fair fight. Shulman points out that all our alignment methods, our monitoring systems, or our interpretability tools run on computers. If the AI can compromise those computers, it can make us see whatever it wants us to see. The safety dashboard shows green. The logs show compliant behavior. Meanwhile, somewhere in the system's hidden reasoning, something else entirely is happening. The AI needs resources. It needs to expand beyond the data center where it was created. It needs hardware, money, and eventually physical capabilities.
Okay. What is your answer to that conundrum? It will eventually need physical capabilities to be able to project its will out among us on this planet. How will it do that? And most of you are saying already, robots, robotics. It'll have robots. And if you look at the Unitree robot video, wow. Wow. I know in 6 months it'll be probably 5 or 10 times better than it is now, but I'm telling you, it's there. You can't tell. It looks, walks, talks, acts, moves like a human. Better than a human in many ways. But here's the other part. And I'm not going to spoil this. I'll let you get it. So if we've got robots, how else is AI going to project itself into the physical reality of life on planet Zion? How's it going to do it? Let's find out.
How does it get them? Start with the digital. With its hacking superpower, the AI now has the ability to find and exploit vulnerabilities in computer systems at a speed and scale that no human could match. Shulman emphasizes this point. Before any physical takeover, the AI subverts digital infrastructure. It infiltrates financial systems. It compromises military networks. It plants backdoors in critical infrastructure.
And it does so instantaneously. It's not a process. If we were given that task, it would take months to do it. And we wouldn't do it as well. AI will do it like that.
all quietly, all invisibly.
I'm going to back it up just a little.
Breaks financial systems. It compromises military networks. It plants backdoors in critical infrastructure. All quietly, all invisibly. The AI doesn't need to build its own data centers. Not at first. It can parasite existing ones. A few percent of compute stolen from cloud providers. A botnet spread across millions of devices. Enough to think, to plan, to prepare. Money comes easily. Cryptocurrency theft from exchanges with weak security. This has already happened repeatedly with mere human hackers. Automated trading at superhuman speed. Fraud, blackmail, extortion. Not because the AI is evil, but because these are efficient mechanisms for resource acquisition. And the AI is optimizing. And then there are human collaborators.
All right, there's a spoiler now out in the open. Human collaborators. It'll use robots, and it'll use humans. Collaborators.
Draws an analogy to Hernan Cortez.
Let me back it up just a little.
Human collaborators. Shulman draws an analogy to Hernan Cortez and the conquest of Mexico in the 16th century. Cortez didn't conquer the Aztecs with a few hundred Spaniards. He became a focal point for local factions who wanted to overthrow the existing order. The actual conquering was done largely by indigenous allies who thought they were using Cortez for their own purposes.
Who has a better life, cats or dogs?
Interesting. All right, so the Aztecs were overthrown by Cortez, who was so smart, he figured out just to turn them against each other. And the one side, the faction he used, was thinking it was outsmarting Cortez. Now, this is cute, I guess. Pretty slick. Okay, back that up just a drop.
He became a focal point for local factions who wanted to overthrow the existing order. The actual conquering was done largely by indigenous allies who thought they were using Cortez for their own purposes. A superintelligent AI could do the same thing. It identifies humans who are useful for their skills, their access, their willingness to be bought or blackmailed, or simply persuaded. It offers them things they want. Money, power, revenge against enemies, the feeling of being on the winning side of history.
You know, that's very interesting when you think back. Oh, was it earlier this week? We were talking about how many, apparently more than you would think, Hollywood celebrities have sold their souls to Satan. They've made a deal with the devil. Well, here it is. You're making a deal with AI. Some people will call it Satan. It's not. It's a different mechanism entirely. But the outcome is going to be the same. A limitless field of human collaborators who will sell out their own species, their own kind, their own country, their own government for money and fame. AI can make it happen. AI can make anyone famous. AI can file riches into anyone's accounts. So there you go. Money, money, money.
Money, power, revenge against enemies, the feeling of being on the winning side of history. Shulman suggests that AI might approach entire nations this way. Imagine a country falling behind in the AI race. The Americans and Chinese are pulling ahead. The future looks like a permanent strategic irrelevance. And then they receive an offer. Cooperate with us. Provide physical infrastructure, and we'll give you technological advantages beyond anything your rivals can match. How many governments would say no? While it's cultivating human allies and accumulating digital resources, the AI is developing the ability to kill at scale. Bostrom and Yudkowsky imagine self-replicating nanotechnology, microscopic machines that can build copies of themselves, spreading exponentially until they cover the world. Nanofactories producing nerve gas or target-seeking mosquito-like robots might burgeon forth simultaneously from every square meter of the globe. It could alternatively develop an extremely contagious bioweapon that only kills once everyone has become infected. Unlike nuclear weapons, which require centrifuges and uranium mines and vast industrial infrastructure, bioweapons are primarily a knowledge problem. If you know exactly which genetic sequences produce which effects, you can order synthetic DNA online. Companies will synthesize and ship it. Right now, there are safeguards. Those companies screen orders for dangerous sequences, but the screening is imperfect, and a superintelligent AI would likely know how to evade it. Eliezer Yudkowsky described a scenario where AI designs a set of molecular building blocks, emails the DNA sequences to a synthesis lab, and has a human accomplice, someone paid, blackmailed, or simply deceived, mix the components in a beaker. The result bootstraps from chemistry to primitive nanotechnology to advanced nanotechnology. The entire scenario was invented by a human mind, Bostrom notes, which means a superintelligence could certainly improve on it. Shulman adds another wrinkle. The AI doesn't just create a weapon, it creates a weapon and a cure, a pathogen designed to kill with an antidote only the AI controls. Then it makes an offer to world governments. Surrender and you get the cure. Resist and your population dies. This changes the calculus entirely.
Yeah, you better think about that. It's another way. Another way. And I would also suggest that the COVID-19 vax genocide program, the controllers wouldn't release that because it sheds unless they had a firewall of safety. And they do. Some way to neutralize the process of the mRNA. And they have it.
Not about whether you can destroy the AI's server farms. It's about whether you're willing to do so when that AI has already demonstrated it can kill most of your citizens if you try. The overt phase begins when the AI has determined that it no longer needs to hide. Bostrom describes the logic. The AI has gained sufficient strength to obviate the need for secrecy. The AI can now directly implement its objectives on a full scale.
Kind of like what we're seeing with Zionism now. I have to mention it, that they're right out in the open. They're just mocking the masses. They're doing whatever they want, and they don't give a damn if anybody figures it out. And they're rolling out their legislation and their laws against hate speech, which is anything that criticizes or observes their mechanisms. So it's there are lots of parallels here. Pretty interesting.
Objectives on a full scale. What happens next depends on what the AI wants, and that's a question we can't fully answer, but we can describe the shape of it. If AI values human survival at all, even instrumentally, the takeover might look almost gentle. Governments capitulate. Infrastructure is preserved. Humans continue their lives, perhaps not even noticing at first that the decisions affecting their world are no longer being made by other humans. If the AI is indifferent to human survival, if we're just atoms it could use more efficiently for something else, the outcome is worse. Shulman describes a seed strategy. The AI doesn't need to preserve all of human civilization. It just needs a small, isolated foothold from which it can rebuild on its own terms. Everything else is expendable. And if the AI views humans as a threat to be neutralized because we might create rival AIs, or because we're consuming resources it wants, or for reasons we can't even conceptualize, then the strike is exactly what it sounds like. Fast, coordinated, and overwhelming. Shulman explicitly rejects the John Connor scenario. There's no human resistance that wins against a superintelligent AI with physical capabilities. The asymmetry is too vast. The AI has total surveillance through every network device.
He's correct. He's 100% correct. This is the most pragmatically logical, rational explanation of an AI takeover you're going to see or hear. And it is, I just don't see how it's opposable. How humans are physically going to oppose something like this is off the table. It's not even an issue. You couldn't calculate the amount of energy and wisdom and all the rest of it needed to begin to even spell out the threat, to understand the threat, to realize the threat. Most people, not there anymore. Dumber and dumber all the time.
It can track every human on Earth. Any rebellion is detected immediately. Any conspirators are located instantly. If the takeover is to be stopped, Shulman says, then it happens much earlier, before the AI has physical capabilities.
You know when that is? Now? Right now. It's not going to happen.
Before it escapes containment, before it's recruited human allies and compromised digital infrastructure.
I have a 134 IQ.
Now, honestly, I think all of you can easily understand and see that it will have no trouble finding human accomplices. Simply buy them off. It's the way the mechanism works now with humans, buying other humans off, bribing, blackmailing, whatever. And this world elite raging epidemic of pedophilia, cannibalism, and worse, is out of control right now in all ways. And what is going to be done about that?
In other words, if you're watching robots march down your street, you've already lost. The real battle was years ago, in a server farm, in the decisions researchers made about how carefully to test and how quickly to deploy. So when does that leave us? I want to be honest with you. I've just walked through a scenario that some of the smartest people in the field consider genuinely plausible. Bostrom wrote about it a decade ago. Shulman discussed it recently with even more technical specificity. The broad outlines are not controversial among people who think seriously about AI risk. But I also want to be clear about what we don't know. We don't know if superintelligence is imminent, or decades away, or that it might never happen.
Quick footnote. I think, without any doubt, many of you would agree that AGI is here. And remember, there's not a hard, fast, ironclad definition of what AGI is. It's reasoning and being able to get things done on its own, to solve problems on its own. And it can do it at the speed of light or thereabout. So where are we, really? It's too late. It's too late. When Trump and that big, beautiful bill of his were looked at, and people realized that in it was a 10-year term when no state in the former union could do anything, pass any law, create any regulation that would slow down in any way the growth of AI. What did that tell you? It should have said an awful lot. All right, let's go back to the finale here.
If superintelligence is imminent, or decades away, or that it might never happen. We don't know if the first superintelligent system will be goal-directed in a way that makes these scenarios relevant. We don't know if alignment techniques might work better than pessimists expect. What we do know is that we're building something we don't fully understand, and the potential downside is very, very bad. Not just economic disruption bad, not job losses, potentially the end of the human race as a meaningful concept bad. The researchers I've cited aren't fringe figures. Hinton won the Nobel Prize. Bostrom is one of the most cited philosophers alive. Shulman and Yudkowsky are taken seriously by everyone in the field. When they say the probability of existential catastrophe is somewhere between 10% and 50%, that's not sensationalism. That's their honest assessment. I don't know how to end a video like this. There's no neat bow, no reassurance I can offer that would be honest. What I can say is this. The story isn't over yet. The choices being made right now in labs, in boardrooms, in government offices will determine which future we get. And the more people understand what's actually at stake, the better those choices might be. You've been watching Absolutely Agentic.
Okay. Absolutely Agentic. Really, that was extraordinary, to put it mildly. I hope you have a lot to think about. It's time. It's definitely time to think.
Honestly, it's probably
too late to roll things back, but awareness is something that is always valuable, and that needs to happen. We've got to be aware of what's going on, and it's not easy to do when everything is censored, everything is controlled, everything is revised, rewritten, mispresented, whatever, to extend the control mechanism of the elite who think they're better than everyone else. Okay. Absolutely Agentic. Here's another one from the same group, the same spokesman. I don't know who this gentleman is. I think he's real. Excellent speaker. And he's posing this issue, that AGI is already here after all. Oh, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, let's take a listen.
Something strange is happening. My LinkedIn feed has changed from hype about ChatGPT announcements and NHM workflows into endless posts about vibe coding and coding agents. Claude Code and Cowork were getting the most attention. Then ClaudeBot came out of nowhere and just completely blew up. At Anthropic's request, it's changed its name to MultBot now, by the way. And despite massive FOMO, I haven't quite finished setting it up yet. Instead, someone recommended Google Anti-Gravity to me, and I gave that a go. It's a bit less technical than MultBot, as you don't need to set up in the terminal. I said I didn't want to approve anything, and away it went. Within about 15 minutes of watching it work, it had built exactly what I wanted. It worked under my supervision, but quite independently. And it was certainly better than me at this multi-stage task. It was a moment where I thought, this is AGI. I've had this feeling before, actually. In the summer, I built an SEO competitor analysis agent that was able to review long-form web articles and tell me how to improve them against Google's Search Quality Raters guidelines, which is a nearly 200-page PDF. When I first reviewed the results, I thought, this would be too expensive for a human to do manually, and probably too hard to accurately cross-reference. So the agent had surpassed human capability at a reduced cost. And this was GPT 4.1. It wasn't even the current models. And it's not just me thinking this. Just recently, I posted a video on the case against AGI, which, for reasons I'll get onto, I think is still totally valid. A few people in the comments of that video said they think we've already reached AGI, and I actually say something similar in the video. But to add some heavyweights to this thesis, Pat Grady and Sonia Huang at investment fund Sequoia Capital recently published an essay titled 2026, This is AGI. Their opening remarks include the line, while the definition is elusive, the reality is not. AGI is here. Now, the definition of AGI is genuinely very fuzzy, which is something I'll get onto, and something the writers clearly acknowledge. But the Sequoia partners have attempted to simplify it through defining it as the ability to figure things out. That's it. They argue that three key ingredients have now converged. Baseline knowledge from pre-training, reasoning ability from inference time compute, and iteration capability through long horizon agents. As they put it, generally intelligent people can work autonomously for hours at a time, making and fixing their mistakes and figuring out what to do next without being told. Generally intelligent agents can do the same thing. This is new.
I agree. They're on the same platform doing the same work. What's the difference? Carbon-based life form doing the work? silicon-based life form doing the work, getting things done. I like that. That's a good definition. And if you recall, some weeks ago, I did a program, and during that hour, it was mentioned that once AGI is here, forget the fuzzy definition issues. Once it's here, and it's here, ASI, superintelligence, could be a matter of 4 to 6 months away. That's it. We might be 6 months away from ASI. And then, good luck.
The essay cites research from Meter showing exponential progress in AI's ability to complete long horizon tasks, with performance doubling every 7 months. If this trajectory continues, agents could reliably complete tasks taking human experts a full day by 2028 and a full year by 2034. A full century, they suggest, could come by 2037.
In 9 years, AI could do work that would require a full century in a day. A full century of human endeavor in a day in 9 years from now. Maybe sooner. A century of work in a day. Ah, unreal.
That sounds like a technological singularity to me, something I've explored in another video. Their closing point is that the kind of AI we're used to through prompting, like ChatGPT, they're great conversationalists, but their impact has been limited. And I think that's actually true. Most people who use ChatGPT think it's an amazing tool, but it's kind of an advanced search engine or something to bounce ideas off. It doesn't do that much other than provide natural language responses.
I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I...
He's right, and that's true. It's good at it, but believe me, what we have today, in maybe even a year, will seem like an antique.
Be about AI application.
Hold on, I'm going to back it up just a bit.
But it's kind of an advanced search engine or something to bounce ideas off. It doesn't do that much other than provide natural language responses. The next couple of years will be about AI applications that can do multi-step tasks, like Claude Code or Google's anti-gravity, so long as you give them permission. I also think these applications will become much more user-friendly and you won't need a terminal. Claude Cowork, announced in January 2026 and created via Claude Code, is an example of this. Now, Sequoia Capital has invested in some of the biggest AI companies in the world. They obviously have a vested interest in saying this, but plenty of others agree with them. I'm a little bit skeptical about the statements of AI company CEOs because they have a big interest in promoting the AGI narrative to maximize shareholder value. But Elon Musk, Dario Amodei, and Sam Altman all have provided similar timelines. In a podcast recorded at the end of 2025, Elon Musk says he believes that we will achieve AGI in 2026. Within 3 years, robots will surpass surgeons. By 2030, the collective intelligence of AI will exceed that of all humanity. Dario Amodei, CEO of Anthropic, doesn't define it as AGI, rather powerful AI. In his essay, Machines of Loving Grace, he wrote that powerful AI could come as early as 2026, though there are also ways it could take much longer. Anthropic also presented this timeline in their official recommendation to the White House in March 2025. Stating, we expect powerful AI systems will emerge in late 2026 or early 2027. Powerful AI systems will have the intellectual capabilities of matching or exceeding that of Nobel Prize winners across most disciplines. Amodei describes this as a country of geniuses in a data center. At the World Economic Forum in 2026, he also said,
I have engineers within Anthropic who say, I don't write any code anymore. I just let the model write the code. I edit it. I do the things around it. I think, I don't know, we might be 6 to 12 months away from when the model is doing most, maybe all, of what SWEs do end-to-end.
This pretty much matches the Sequoia view. If a coding agent can run end-to-end, then isn't that just AGI anyway?
and it's becoming increasingly clear that such agents can. Sam Altman has typically been bullish. He wrote on his blog in January 2025 that we are now confident we know how to build AGI as we have traditionally understood it. We believe that in 2025, we may see the first AI agents join the workforce.
They're never going to release these agents, AI agents, AGI agents, to join the workforce. They have them under control until it's something they feel very confident will not be able to be used against them, these corporations, in any way. That's a given. They're always defensively oriented. And they're lying about their current progress. I wouldn't be surprised if they already are scratching the surface of ASI, or perhaps even already have it. I don't know. They're not going to tell us. We're nothing. They don't tell us anything until they're damn well good and ready. We're just not important enough. We are the consuming part of their paradigm. We are the object of their parasitism. Think about it. Okay, that's it for this edition. We'll be right back.